I have 70 leaders that I oversee with the business resource groups just in North America. Mm-hmm. And so through this learning journey of reevaluating the program and communicating with them with transparency, it has been so transformational in how the business now reaches them and how they now trust the business saying, we need engagement data. We need diversity information. And it doesn't have to be every single line item, but it has to be enough for them to not only understand their role in impacting, but give them enough to work with so that they know how they can transform this, how they can partner across the business and what the expectations even are.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Intent to Impact, the ERG podcast. This show is designed to help DEI and ERG leaders build and scale impactful employee resource groups. I'm your host, Demebi Igbuna, co-founder of Chezzy, and we're joined today by Ashley Mann Lofthouse, Global Manager of Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging at the Kraft Heinz Company. Ashley, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
Thank you for joining us. So to start it off, we'd love to give our audience just a brief overview of the ERGs at Kraft Heinz. And then if you can detail what your involvement looks like in supporting them, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, for sure. So we have 7 BRGs across our North America zone, and we have some more that are global. Now, the North America zone BRGs have been around for 10 years, and they really serve as a platform for fostering inclusion and advancing our diversity initiatives. I think one thing that's important to know about Kraft Heinz groups is that they are BRGs. They are business resource groups, which gives them a little bit of a different responsibility when it comes to business impact compared to an employee resource group, which is truly focused on being a resource for the employees when we think about inclusion and belonging. My role is really to support them in any way that they need me. I serve them as this overarching program management for oversight, including the entire evaluation of the program and reimagining how we impact the business. Of course, providing them strategic guidance, learning and development opportunities, and sustainable structural development. How are they structured so that they can do this volunteer role in a more impactful but efficient and effective way when we think about collaboration across the globe?
Yeah. I'm curious, you mentioned that they are business resource groups, so that's a conscious decision. What are those business initiatives or business outcomes that they're helping you drive?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the business outcomes that they actually develop on their own, we think about their strategy and how it works for each of their individualized communities. And then that has to tie into what we're doing as a business. We think about our DEIMB strategy and the pillars that we want to impact community, business, and people. But then we also have our Kraft Heinz values and our aspirations as a business. We have these priorities that the business has designed that we as individual community groups can support. So think of the impact they can have with talent, attention, attraction, and recruitment, as well as engagement, employee belonging, and inclusion sentiment. We think about the community impact that our groups can have through philanthropy and volunteering.
Got it. And just following up on that, so you mentioned that BRGs are really helping to drive DEIMB strategy. Knowing that Kraft Heinz is a global company, how are you shaping your DEIMB strategy to include values and cultures from diverse regions and parts of the world?
Yeah, this is something that is very top of mind for us. As a global organization, we really have to understand that everything is different in every place. We think about cross cultures, cross experience, lived experiences of people in general. We really encourage leading with curiosity and an open mind, but understanding that we can have a flexible framework that allows us to localize our initiatives, our goals, and our actions, but still maintain an overarching strategic objective when we think about what we want to impact and how we're going to do it across the board. Really making sure that our structures, our process, our procedures are able to be personalized, but still follow the same approach.
And I know, are your BRGs also global? So do you have chapters in the different regions, or what does that structure look like?
That's actually interesting. So Kraft Heinz itself used to be structured very differently, and then they had developed zones. So right now we have global business resource groups. However, across the zones, they're functioning very differently. So our North America BRGs are servicing the United States and Canada, and they function as a overarching individual group. For example, we'll use the Women's BRG. They are just one business resource group that has a leadership team that functions across all of North America. America. However, our gender group that is in the international zone serves more as this topic that they can have individual chapters for the different regions that can have them, especially when we're thinking about cross-cultural inclusion. Yeah. There are some countries that we're not able to have some of our groups in legally. So what can we do to support these folks at a local level with a global picture in mind?
That's super interesting. Something that I hear a lot, especially from global organizations, is that their BRGs or ERG programming seems to be pretty US-centric. A lot of the leads are coming from North America, so a lot of the programming is tailored towards the employees that live in those regions and can oftentimes forget about the international folks. So I actually really appreciate that structure that you've laid out in terms of having a North America zone and then an international zone, which is operating independently.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've even thought about maybe we do have global BRGs and how does this work and what does that look like? And it doesn't make sense for us. And I think that for some organizations, that might be the best bet. But in learning from our partners and having that open mind, leaning into the idea of true inclusion, it's not what we need to do. What we need to do is listen to what they are telling us works for them and what they need and how we can support them using what we've already figured out works for us.
Yeah. I'm curious, how are you getting the data to inform those decisions when it comes to the BRGs? Knowing that employees in different regions have different needs, what have you implemented to get their feedback in order to make sure that your programming is meeting their needs?
That is something that is also, I think it's a challenge for many organizations, and I think it's a learning opportunity because it changes every moment and every time, right? One of the ways that we've done that is actually making sure that we're communicating and asking those questions in the right spaces. I think sometimes we can think about what works best for us and we can determine what the needs might be, but if we're not communicating with those individuals personally and individually, we're not going to get the right answer. For an example, thinking about how we reach our manufacturing folks, whether that's in the US or abroad, if we say, this is what works in other places, what we think might work for them, but we're not asking them what they need and what they want, we're not going to hit the mark. So a lot of that data really comes from our engagement survey, getting feedback from focus groups, and then our BRG leadership teams actually taking on that role of communicating with their networks, thinking about the global connectivity of what the BRG management team, which is myself and a couple other individuals that work in different spaces across the globe, using their key data when we think about the organizational data, the metrics that we use to track the initiatives that we want to impact, and using that to leverage our strategy in reaching these people.
Yeah, I think that's a good takeaway for our audience too. Even if they don't come from global organizations, a lot of companies have a mix of workforce, right? Like they have manufacturing folks or people in the field, they have corporate folks, they might have hourly employees. So just figuring out how to best engage each segment of those employees is going to be super important. So you mentioned that you have employee engagement surveys. I'm curious, like, which specific data sources do you primarily rely on, maybe outside of those engagement surveys, to inform your strategic decisions, and why are they so essential?
So we actually use quite a variety of different sources, especially for our business resource groups. And one of the things that I want to lead with is that in the past, our groups really weren't necessarily serving in the way that was intended. They weren't given the support that they needed to execute appropriately for what the expectation was. So we really realigned and assessed what they were doing, how they were doing it, the way that we anticipated them to execute, and came up with a new plan. And so through that, the different data sources has changed a little bit, where we're able to think about, like I said, the employee feedback from the engagement surveys and focus groups, but also leaning into the organizational data. So thinking about diversity metrics, talent management processes, people data, of course, external benchmarking in both the field of DEIB and ERGs, but also in the industry, in CPG, in large matrix global organizations. What are we doing that is working and not working when we think about the impact we want to have? And that's the mindset that we have. It's like, where do we want to be? Where are we now? And how can we use existing information to fill in those gaps and provide for us? So it's a lot when I think about the different aspects of where we gather the data from, but it's very key. And I think that each tool provides a different view, different insight. And I think one of the things that a lot of folks don't necessarily action on is the cross analysis between that information. You can get all of the people data from your organizational people review, and you can get your engagement survey data, but are you now cross-checking how those things align with talent management and performance and potential and particular community groups?
So I'm curious, within your BRG specifically, you mentioned that your leaders are actually accountable for tracking some things. They're the ones talking to members. I'm sure that they have key metrics that they're supposed to be measuring. Can you just talk a little bit more about how you encourage your ERG leaders to leverage data in their strategic decision making for their BRG?
Yes. So one of the things that I am a big firm believer in is the ownership, right? And that's what Kraft Heinz says. We own our journey. We own our career. We own everything. And I want my leaders to be empowered to own their BRGs. I have a leadership team of 8 to 10 members on all of my North America BRGs, and they are responsible for defining their strategy, which means they're responsible for identifying those metrics. And of course, I support and guide them, but leaning into the DEIB strategy, our aspirations, and our global priorities, how is what they're doing going to impact these spaces? Mm-hmm. So I do let them have the ownership of understanding that, with a few key things that we do have, of course, as requirements of the program. When we think about initiatives and activations, the engagement participation rates, as well as any other information that is measurable, but also impactful. We don't want to keep an eye on metrics that aren't going to really inform the initiatives and the impact we're hoping to have. Yeah. When I think about initiative alignment, that's one of the metrics that we're actually tracking. Do every single one of your initiatives align into of these boxes of execution that we're trying to impact? Now, if they don't, that's okay. Right. But can you explain it to me? Tell me why. Tell me how this is intentional in what we're trying to do so that we can collaborate with our stakeholders effectively, make sure it aligns with their strategy. And then, of course, sharing out that information. The different metrics that we are able to measure, we think about event participation, membership numbers, that stuff's all fine.
Right.
But we want to also impact the business. So working with those internal organizational stakeholders to make sure that our numbers make sense for them too is really important.
Gotcha. I have a few different ways I can go, but I'm going to go with that last point that you just made in terms of making sure that your BRGs are actually impacting the business. What are those metrics that speak to impact on the business for Kraft Heinz? Is that like engagement scores? Is that, you know, retention of ERG members versus non-ERG members? What are those things that you're tracking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is something that it's forever changing, right? We think about, especially like a business like Kraft Heinz, we are evolving to fit our consumers and our customers' needs. And that is the same for our BRGs. We have to evolve with the organizational needs, but we also have to evolve with our employees' needs. And through that, some of the metrics that we're tracking that really do impact the business have to do with the engagement. So we look at the cross data for all of our engagement data for each of these individual communities. And then we're able to also break it down in other ways to say, is this one function struggling a little bit more than this one? Mm. We then use that cross view of the retention and attrition in that space. We look at all of these other little aspects that the one thing the BRG can impact XYZ, but how are they going to track that? So being able to have that visibility is huge. That's a whole nother conversation, giving them the transparency and the visibility to even get the data to move forward, to move the needle. And then some of the other metrics when we think about the impact do come from the participation and the engagement. We do satisfaction surveys and tracking like the actual participation numbers. How many events did you have? This and that. But something new that we're going to be identifying is the philanthropic impact. So how much money are you generating in general when it comes to external partnerships, community engagement, volunteering, donations? That's something that is really important to Kraft Heinz when we think about our values of just doing the right thing. And so that'll be something new that we're implementing.
Yeah.
And there was one more I wanted to throw out there. Ooh, brand partnerships. That's one of the biggest things that is that separates BRGs from ERGs is bringing in that thought partnership from these individual community lenses to our brands. Mm-hmm. So partnering with these actual brands that are saying, hey, if I'm making a Hispanic and Latino product, am I using that community to make sure this is relevant, culturally sensitive? Mm-hmm. Am I hitting the mark with what I'm doing? So that is something else that we're tracking, not only the number of partnerships, but the execution and the outcome of them.
I love that. Our vision with Chezzy even is to help facilitate the transition of ERGs to BRGs with that in mind, like with your BRGs helping to be like almost a focus group for your other departments. So like you're working with your marketing team to make sure your marketing content is inclusive. You're working with your product and engineering team to make sure your product is inclusive. So I love that y'all are already doing that, leading the charge in that sense.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I am very strongly for when it comes to just DEI and B professionals in general. I think a lot of the times we get stuck in the bucket of, oh, training and psych safety. And I'm like, that's all important. Yeah, sure. But we have this whole other opportunity over here, especially when it comes to leveraging individual communities. We started that last year and have been able to have some really great successes. And I just hope to continue to see that grow.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so circling back to something that you mentioned earlier was the word alignment. And I think alignment when it comes to your BRGs contributing to your business outcomes means that your BRG leaders are aware of the overall DEI and B strategy. So can you discuss your approach to communicating that strategy with your ERG leaders and how that contributes to the overall success of the BRG programming and just the program in general?
Yeah, so I love the word alignment because I think that it really makes so much sense in a couple of different ways. And for the strategic alignment of the leaders on my BRGs and the so many different elements of strategy around Kraft Heinz, the communication is vital. It's vital for collaboration. It's vital for understanding. But most importantly, it's vital for trust. Mm-hmm. If you cannot provide clear, direct communication and transparency, especially when it comes to things that you anticipate these leaders to be able to impact or expect them to achieve, it's not going to work. Right. They need to have the information at their fingertips to be able to action. And I think sometimes we get in this mindset of, okay, they know the general idea. They don't need to know the nitty gritty. That's okay in certain aspects. But if we have an expectation, we have to provide. And that's exactly what we've been able to do here is give them more clarity on what it is we want to achieve as a company.
Yeah.
What it is the DEI and B team is focusing on and how they can impact. I think, especially when we think about DEI initiatives in general, everybody's job, everybody plays a role, but people don't know how. They're not professionals in this space. They're doing it because they want to. They're passionate about it. It affects them. It affects their network. How do they do it? We have to give them that information. I'll tell you a little story about my experience with coming on to this role. I had been with the company for quite some time, but moving over into this space with this role, I made the mistake of not fully communicating with transparency, not because I didn't want to or didn't think about it, but because I had this goal that I had an expectation of me. And I said, sure, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put the plan together. I'm going to come to the table. And I said, all right, here we go. We're executing. I know what I'm doing. Let's go. Right. And they were like, that's all great.
Yeah. Like, hold on for a second.
It was very much a learning experience. Yeah. Because I have 70 leaders that I oversee with the business resource groups just in North America. Mm-hmm. And so through this learning journey of reevaluating the program and communicating with them with transparency, it has been so transformational in how the business now reaches them and how they now trust the business saying, we need engagement data. We need diversity information. And it doesn't have to be every single line item. But it has to be enough for them to not only understand their role in impacting, but give them enough to work with so that they know how they can transform this, how they can partner across the business and what the expectations even are.
Yeah, I think that's so smart is to give them the strategy that they're working within, mm-hmm. right? They need to know where they're steering the ship, for lack of a better word. I'm curious, like in practice, where are you communicating this? I know a lot of companies have introduced like ERG summits or they're doing like offsites with their ERG leaders. when are you having, is it like a sit down, this is our strategy, let's build towards this? Or are you just communicating and dropping it throughout the year? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. And this is something that we're still learning and developing as we transform. Okay. As our program has been evaluated and reimagined, we've put in a lot of time and effort through change management and organizational development of the program. And so last year, it looked a little different than it's going to look moving forward. Last year, we had quarterly connections with the full team, monthly connections and learning and development with our leaders, and all of these different elements of starting from the bottom and revamping what we're doing so that it can be done in a bigger, better, more impactful way. Overall, the way that I anticipate us moving forward is having our quarterly connections, which I think is important for information sharing and collaborating, hearing from stakeholders and partners, getting some guest speakers in there. Mm-hmm. And then having your monthly connection on an individual basis where you can meet monthly, bi-monthly, every 6 weeks, whatever that looks like for you when you think about meeting time, work-life balance, but communicating in real time.
Yeah.
We are also big on the hybrid approach because we're across the globe, but our BRGs in general right now, this group of 70 leaders manages all of North America business resource groups. From that aspect, we have to have this virtual component, which is so helpful that the technology of the world has gotten us to this place where we can have impactful meetings that are just over the computer. We do also communicate a lot through Teams and emails, you know, chats where we need to. And we're in the process of developing opportunities for them to connect in person. We offer learning and development opportunities where they can go to conferences and things like that. But we want to have our own. You know, we need to have a summit or a celebration, something where they can come together to share best practices, commemorate with each other about the things they've accomplished. And so those are the things that we have planned moving forward. And this year, we'll see what the learning looks like. We've graduated, if you will, from this earlier foundational approach to getting into this bigger space when we think about the foundation model of a BRG. Yeah. And there's always got to be the connection, especially when we think about the intersectionality of all of these groups. How are they connecting?
Yeah. Something I've really appreciated over the last couple years is seeing on LinkedIn people bringing together their ERG leaders on, in offsites and ERG summits and their workshops and things. I think that really helps to build like leader morale and just get people excited for the year. So I'm excited to see you all bring that to life at Kraft Heinz.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be exciting. And I think that also, it gives them something when we think about incentive. There's always that conversation. Most of these people are doing this as a volunteer opportunity. So how are we giving them learning and development, networking, collaboration, even just rewards and recognition? What does that look like that we're giving back to them to say thank you?
Right. I can't remember if this is something that was brought up in this conversation or in some of our previous conversations, but I know you have previously mentioned like that you encourage your ERG leaders to create annual plans either at the end of the year for the next year or at just the top of the year. Can you share the process you've outlined for creating these plans? And then if there are any best practices that you would share with our audience in terms of making this a effective and efficient process?
Yes. So I am a huge believer in proactivity. Proactive planning is necessary. It saves time. It saves energy, stress, and chaos. So with these annual plans, that's the goal. We want to make sure that we are proactively planning using our strategy, using changes in the business that we know have happened or are coming to develop our annual plans well in advance. For example, last year, we went through our learning and development and our change management and developed our annual plans in October. So that way in November, we could make sure that we had approval and alignment from our leadership teams and our stakeholders. And the goal is to present this to your collaborative teams internally before the year's even up. So that if you've got this one function that also does a lot of activities, now they have full visibility to what you're planning for the next year so you can collaborate and plan sooner, more effectively, and more efficiently. Some of the things that we put into place prior to doing this are the learning the elements of what it takes to develop a good program plan, utilizing your strategy. Mm-hmm. So learning about what makes sense for a BRG's strategy, hearing about the business areas that we can impact and the opportunities that we have. And then thinking about some of those other elements that are either recommended, required, or expected, like partnering with the brands, thinking about charitable opportunities, thinking about succession of your leadership team.
Yeah.
All of these things that you can build into an annual program plan. And then the next year, you have a report. You have an annual business resource group report that comes out with all of the things that you achieved compared against this plan that you acknowledged. Best practices really come to do with the, I want to say, the tools that you're provided. Not everybody has the tools to accomplish this, right? You might not have a platform like Chezzy's platform or any other area where you can do all of this work on the back end. So using Excel,
yeah.
Thinking about teams, what do you have that's already built into your existing systems that you can leverage to plan and program design? That's one of the things that I would think first and foremost. And the second piece is really understanding that end goal, the big picture. What are you trying to achieve out of anything that you're doing? Because that's how you're going to be able to fill in the blanks. Think about the before and the after. That's how you get to the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me think. Anything else? I think the other thing that I have struggled with in the past that I think is probably also universal is when you have such a large team of leadership members, is making sure you're communicating with them in the way that makes sense to them. Reaching three people is fine. That's easy. But where are you able to reach 100 folks and get them the same information in a way that makes sense for how they need to receive information? So that's something that I think is an ongoing challenge. And best practices really include just having a collaborative space, whether that is a shared group chat or a SharePoint site or a living document that you all have accessibility to with Slack or something like that. I think that is something that I truly recommend. Back and forth emails is one thing, but having the fluid conversation potential is really needed.
If I were to picture like an outline of this annual plan, what are those key components of this? Is it like, are you actually detailing the specific events that you're hosting throughout the year? Are you just detailing like your goals for the year? What are the components of that plan that I think our audience might want to templatize?
Yeah. So there's actually two different pieces that I would recommend. And the first is the latter of what you mentioned, is that overarching outline, high level, our vision, mission, impact. This is our strategy.
Right.
This is what you're going to share out to folks that just want to know a little bit more and have the visibility to what you're doing and why. That's the first piece. The second piece is a full-on detailed line item program. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the times people shy away from that because it's scary. It's a lot of information and it's a lot of work to get it done proactively.
Yeah.
It saves so much time because you can use it for all the things. And when I say itemized and all the details, everything, every single initiative and activation that you're planning to do with all of their moving pieces. What is the strategic element that you're trying to reach? What is the impact you're hoping to have? Who are your stakeholders? What are the metrics that you're tracking? Mm-hmm. What's the budget expectations? Really outlining a full project plan for every single initiative that you can track your timeline, your milestones, your achievements, and your opportunities to do better. Because not only does that help you in the moment of saving time and energy, it helps your stakeholders. It helps you be able to report the ROI of what it is you've done, what you're doing, and why it's important to have these communities. But it also gives us the proof that what we're doing is working. And if it's not, then we have that too. But most of the time it's going to work. We might have to pivot, we might have to manipulate, but most of the time it's going to work if you do it right. And then you have the proof that what you're doing is working, you're doing it, keep supporting us. That's the big thing.
Yeah, I think that's so smart, especially, I know it sounds like a lot of work kind of upfront building out this project plan, but I think when you're actually in the flow of the year, you get so overwhelmed with your 9 to 5, considering ERG leaders are volunteers. So to have something to fall back to and reference and say, we've already done most of the grunt work, but now we just have to put it into action, must be so helpful.
Yeah. And especially when we think about the stakeholder partnerships, that is a huge piece of any resource group. You have to partner with so many different people around your organization. And a lot of the times you have to rely on them for things.
Yeah.
And that means that you need to also make sure that you're following with their timelines, their deadlines, providing them with material and information in advance. We shouldn't be working the day until we're supposed to be launching something the next day. This should be said and done. And we are prepared and we're excited. We're not frustrated and living in chaos.
Yeah. I want to shift gears to close us out. So I know you have a background in social work and mental health. And I feel like that provides a unique perspective, especially in your role. So I'm curious, how do you integrate that experience into the DEI strategy to prioritize employee well-being and mental health support within the organization?
Yes, that is something that a lot of people, when they hear about my background in mental health and education and social work, they're like, I don't understand. But yeah. Then when I meet people that also have similar backgrounds, they're like, yeah, it makes so much sense, especially in the world of like DE&I, because it's all about people, right? I'm an anthropologist as well. It's all about people, and we're trying to impact and support people. Thinking about my experience in mental health and how I bring that into this space really comes in understanding the holistic human experience, especially for marginalized and historically underrepresented communities, especially in the workplace, because we know that not everything is created equally. What can we do when we think about wellness, mental health support? How are we using that lens in what it is we're trying to achieve and how we're trying to achieve it? So one of the things that I really lean into is partnering with our benefits team, our Live Well team. They are such phenomenal partners. And we both came to the conclusion that we need to do better and more. And I think we're lucky that we're in an organization that really does prioritize a person's well-being in general, because that gives us more of a say when it comes down to, hold on, maybe that's not the best way to do this because it impacts mental health negatively. Or maybe we can do that, but we should also provide this additional step or this additional resource, especially when it comes to the BRG leadership teams.
Yeah.
They are overwhelmed. They're overloaded at work and through their volunteer opportunity through the leadership team. So what can we do to support them in making sure that they do feel safe and comfortable to perform? I think promoting awareness of mental health challenges and opportunities is huge.
Yeah.
So being able to develop we developed our first disabilities BRG last year. It's called Disabilities with a Z, and they have done a wonderful job at making sure that we're all thinking about these things when we talk about the buzzwords, psychological safety, empathy, inclusive things. But are we considering why these people are feeling this way and how they're impacted when you're doing X, Y, Z, if they do have mental health challenges, which we all do, especially our BRG communities. So really just integrating the wellness into the programs as much as we can, encouraging the organizational culture to adapt to understanding the holistic person and their individualized needs, and offering things like inclusive leadership opportunities. Right now, we're launching a inclusive curriculum where we can use our leadership principles to also understand things like innovative uniqueness and empathy and interrupting bias and taking action into all of these things to ensure that being is one of the biggest things that we're thinking about as we are transforming as a company.
Yeah. And I feel like DEI work just generally is so taxing and can be so draining. And so many practitioners out there are dealing with burnout. So I love that you are bringing your background in that context into this work, because I think it's so important. So I appreciate you for that.
Thank you. And I also think that it helps that I myself have experienced burnout. I don't think that everybody has, or at least understands that maybe they have. I think that when we start normalizing these conversations, people are starting to reflect on their own experiences and understanding like, oh, wow, I have experienced that, or I do go through this, but they just didn't put two and two together. And that's why I think storytelling to understand DE&I initiatives and empathy and develop inclusive leadership skills, like all of those things, storytelling is so important for all of us as humans, but especially for these marginalized communities that are often going through these things at a much higher level.
Yeah.
So being able to talk about it, it sparks this interest and this understanding in other people. And that's one of the biggest things that I think is important when I think about the bigger impact. Like, we can impact the business all day, but if our employees aren't doing well, we didn't win.
That's why we do this work. Ashley, thank you so much for joining us on Intent to Impact. Can you tell our audience where they can find you or get in touch?
Thank you so much for having me. You can find me on LinkedIn under Ashley Mann Lofthouse. You can find me on my website at www.mannhouseconsulting.com. I'm also on Instagram under the same name. I look forward to connecting with all of you and supporting you however I can and getting to learn from everyone as well. I think that we can always learn, especially in a space that is constantly evolving. So thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to the next conversation.
Yeah, thank you.